We are going to learn Daf Tes Zayin in Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start from the bottom of Tes Vavim Beis, the Mishnah right on the bottom of Tes Vavim Beis. That's where we're up to. Now, the one thing that, by introduction, I will say is that we are going to learn, Amir Tashem, three Mishnayos today. All three Mishnayos are essentially really one Mishnah. What do I mean by that? Obviously, they're all three different pieces, and the Gemara breaks them up into three different sections. That's fine. But from the Gemara's perspective, it's really one Mishnah. It's all one Mishnah. You have to view some of the points, as you'll see very clearly, and the reason I'm pointing this out is because you'll see very clearly that when we get to the third Mishnah, the Gemara is going to be asking a Kasha, which applies to the first Mishnah. So, it's all one Mishnah in the sense that the Gemara doesn't view it in the way that it was edited, in the way that it's printed. So, just keep that in mind so that we don't get lost when the Gemara starts asking kashas from one Mishnah to the next. So,
Zok the Mishnah
on the bottom of Tesvav and Beis. Shvua she'eni yoshon, she'eni medaber, she'eni mehalech, osur. So, we did have at the end of the first parak, we also had a Mishnah that talked about Nedarim in the same sense, but here we're talking about a Shvua. One of the things that goes back and forth in Masechtas Nedarim is whether we're talking about a Shvua or a Nedar. Here is very clearly talking about a Shvua. And the Shvua is simply that I will not sleep, I will not talk, I will not walk. All of those things is Asur, meaning that the Shvua is Chal. I'm allowed to do that. As we know, as we're familiar, you can make a shvua on an action, and that's exactly what this Mishnah is saying. Now, again, this is the point in the Mishnah that we should focus on for a moment. Korban loy oichalucha. Okay, so we have three cases. Let's just read the words of the Mishnah, then we'll go back and we'll define it. Korban loy oichalucha, I say that it's a korban, what I won't give you. What I won't eat from you, rather. Oichalucha means what I will eat from you. Ha korban sha oichalucha. It is a carbon, again, I'm just translating the words literally, but then we'll go through the explanation. A carbon, it should be a carbon, what I do eat from you. Loi carbon, loi oichalucha, and it should not be a carbon, what I don't eat from you, which the inference is, and what I do eat from you will be a carbon, mutter. All of those cases are going to be mutter. Now, why should they be mutter? Now this, by the way, first of all, just for starters, this is talking about a neder. Even though the beginning of the Mishnah was talking about a shvua, these words are talking about a neder. So, what is, so to speak, missing from each one of these? So when you say karbon lo yoichalucha, the word karbon over here is actually the way it's interpreted and means to say it means b'chai karbon or b'chei karbon is the way that it's correctly read. And it means there's nothing really usur about it. There's nothing. A chay carbon, the life of a carbon, is not something that can make a neder. And therefore, over here, when you're saying it, you're saying that I want in the life of the carbon it should be usur. There's nothing usur about the life of the chay carbon, and therefore, that case is going to be mutter. The next case of ha carbon sha'oichalucha is also mutter. Sorry, excuse me. Just for starters, actually, what I just said was the second thing, was ha korban oichalucha. So it's a shvua, not a neder, but it's a shvua where you say ha korban oichalucha is referring to we actually had a gemara that already explained, this is the case where we're talking about the chay korban. Not the first case like I just said, but rather, just let me correct myself, it's ha korban oichalucha is referring to the life of the korban. And a carbon can't make a shvua. Since a carbon can't make a shvua, this is not going to be a valid carbon. So let's go back and translate what the problem with carbon lo yoichalucha is. The carbon lo yoichalucha is the object itself is the so to speak, not the subject of the net of the shvua, but rather, so to speak, the thing creating the shvua. So as the Mefarish in Rashi says, that it means like a sheep. I'm swearing by a sheep. So a sheep is not something that can create a shvua. Or as the Ran says, that a carbon itself is not something that creates a shvua, even if it's a carbon. But that's a neder type of lashon, that you make it also similar to a carbon. But when you're trying to make a shvua is made by the person himself, not by the animal. And therefore, that is why the first case, Karban Loyochel, it sounds like such a good example. But Karban Loyochel, I swear as a Karban that I'm not going to eat from you. There is no such thing as a Karban. I am not, I'm just trying to phrase it in the way we can understand it in English. As a carbon, I'm not eating from you. What do you mean? I'm not a carbon. The carbon is not something that makes the shvua. I'm not. Therefore, it's not a valid lashon of the shvua. How carbon shayuchalachah we already explained means in the life of the carbon. Similar idea, but based on the life of a carbon, I'm not going to eat from you. So that's also not a good shvua because we don't swear like that. Again, just the problem that makes this somewhat confusing is the idea that in the context of a neder, that would be okay because I could use the carbon as my catalyst to create a neder. But the problem over here is that we're doing a shvua. And then lastly is our favorite one, which is loy carbon loy chalucha. That's a double negative. And as we know, we've always said, and it's one of the first points that the Gemara is going to make in a moment, is that since our Mishnayos are all following Shitas Reb Meir, Reb Meir doesn't hold of the concept of Michlal Lava Tashameya Hain. So therefore, in order to make this usher, you would have to say, what I'm not eating from you is not a carbon. Also, the inference is that what I am eating from you is a carbon. And therefore it's usher, because what I am eating is a carbon, but that's an inference. And then as an inference, that's not going to work in the context, so therefore it's going to be mutter. Okay. But that's, so again, once again, just to clarify, these last cases are actually nedarim, not shvuah, so I'm flipping back and forth over here, so I apologize for the confusion. As we always said, and I'm sure all of you have heard, and I've heard this many times, if you can't explain it, that means you don't understand it. So part of the problem is it's confusing in my mind, so Mamela, I'm explaining it in a confusing way. So I apologize about that. That's important to say. So that once we're talking, the reason why it doesn't work over here is because it's a neder. And as a neder, you can't have the double negative to imply that it's going to work to make it usher. Whereas by a shvua, you can. Why? So the Ran actually explains on the bottom of Tez Zayin of Aleph, all the way towards the bottom, the Ran explains that the difference is that where does Reb Meir get his shita from? Reb Meir gets a shita from Tanai B'nai God B'nai Ruvain. But as the Gemara in Shavuos very clearly says, that Reb Meir's shita of the double negative is only in the context of Mamonis, or in an Isser that applies to Mamonis. So when you're talking about a neder, in order to make a neder, you always have to make it based on something. That's the whole, that's also another one of the Ran Shitas. Dover another. So, and to be matvis of something that's other, again, which is also a specific Shita of the Ran. So you have to understand this in the context of the Ran. But that being said, so Dover moment is obviously, when I talk about it tonight, you're going to get this money, you're not going to get this money. Clearly you need to spell it out, and you can't rely on the inference. But even the Darim, the Ran wants to explain, is also, since it always has to be based off an object, and the object has a value because it's not an abstract idea, it's not an intangible object, it has to be tangible in order for it to be a neder. That's clear from the Gemara, so there's always some value here. Therefore, that's where Reb Meir's Shita applies, that we don't learn out of the inference. Whereas by a shvua, you don't need an object. A shvua can be abstract. It can be talking about walking and talking and things like that, which have nothing, which have no value. Which, again, and no value in the sense of the market value. So since it doesn't have any value, therefore it's not mominous, and it's not mominous, even Reb Meir will agree that we could say Mechlal Lava Toshamei Hein. So anytime we refer back to Reb Meir Shita and say that we don't do the inference, we can't rely on an inference, and you have to spell it out, we're always talking about Nedarim. We're not talking about a Shvua. And therefore, over here, it's not going to be, since this is a neder, Reb Meir's shita is going to be that it's not going to work. Okay. And so, it's a little bit confusing because the Ran himself actually flips back and uses the word shvua to explain the first cases of the Mishnah, but then uses the case of neder to explain the last case of the Mishnah. But in all these cases, the bottom line is they're mutter. You're not saying it the way, you're not relying on something that is usable for the context of a shvua. Excuse me, context of a neder. Okay, that takes us to the top of Tezayin of Rav. So the one on top of Tezayin of Rav asks what we've been already discussing and taking for granted, Moni Mas Nisin. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah? And the Gemara concludes, Reb Meir he. It's Shita's Reb Meir, as we've been saying all along. All the Mishnahis basically, till now, have been Reb Meir Shita. Why? Di Reb Yehuda, loy shanele carbon, veloy shanele ha carbon. See, because according to Reb Yehuda Shita, I believe back all the way on Daf Yud Aleph, Reb Yehuda had a Shita that it doesn't matter what the prefix is. If you rely on a carbon, if your carbon is a classic example of something that is also as an eder, it doesn't matter what the prefix is. We always understand it and interpret it to mean that what you're trying to say is this new object should be also like the carbon. Even if you don't say kick carbon, it doesn't matter whether you say carbon, ha carbon, or all the other examples that the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph says. So therefore, according to Reb Yehuda Shita, if Reb Yehuda was the Tana of our Mishnah right here, Reb Yehuda would also say that these are going to be usher. Doesn't matter whether I say ha-korban or I say korban and so on and so forth. These would all be valid nedarim. So by the fact that our Mishnah says it's mutter, cannot be Reb Yehuda, and has to be Reb Meir Shita. However, the Gemara then says, Eimo Seifo. But let's look at the end of our Mishnah, which is right over here. L'korban, well, actually, it's later. Later. The end of the Mishnah, later, which is, right. The Mishnah says, L'korban loy oichalucha mutter. So, over there, it says mutter, which is what our Mishnah says. And v'hatnan, and we learned, L'korban loy oichalucha Reb Meir oyser. So, Reb Meir very clearly, we had another Mishnah in the, at the end of the first parak, that Reb Meir Shita was that if I say La Karban Loyo Yichalucha, it's going to be Mutter Va'omer Reb Abba, and we explained why is that. Excuse me, Aser. So why is that Aser? Va'omer Reb Abba, we explain why it's Aser. Nasa Koimer La Karban Yehei Lefichach Loyo Yichalucha. It should be a carbon. La carbon means it should be a carbon. Therefore, I'm not going to eat it from you. I'm not going to eat it. But in any event, it's even without the explanation, which of course is important, but the point is that the Reb Meir Shita is very clearly that when I say la carbon, it is a case that it is usur. And our Mishnah very clearly says lo carbon lo yochalucha is mutter. That's our example. So it seems that it's a contradiction in Reb Meir. Is it mutter or is it usur? It seems at this point in the Gemara that it's the same case. To which the Gemara answers, like Kasha, Hoda Omar la carbon, Hoda Omar, or la carbon rather, I should say, Hoda Omar loy la carbon, or loy carbon, take out the lamada before the word carbon. It depends whether you say la carbon. La carbon would make it law. It is a carbon versus la carbon or loy carbon. It depends on which gears in the Ran you learn, but la carbon or loy carbon means it's not a carbon, which would require the inference. De loy have a carbon kamer. What I would be saying is loy carbon, it's not a carbon. And again, Reb Meir Shita is, that is consistent. Now it comes out that it's consistent with Reb Meir Shita. That Reb Meir Shita is, if I say it's not a carbon and I have to imply from that that it is, that what I am doing is a carbon, so that is an inference. Reb Meir doesn't hold with the inference concept. Whereas when I say very clearly, I spell it out, whereas when I say law carbon is interpreted to mean it should be a carbon. And once I translate it should be a carbon, so then anachanami, now it's a carbon. Of course, I could use that for the content, for the purposes of making it into a neder and making it usur. So it's very confusing, but let's simplify it. Reb Meir Shita doesn't hold of the inference. That's something clear that's been consistent that we've been talking about all along. So how is it possible that when it says la carbon lo yochalucha over there, all of a sudden it's usur? Because it seems like, it sounds like it's the same thing and therefore needs interpretation. That's not true. Because when we say la carbon lo yochalucha, we're actually saying la carbon too. It should be a carbon. Therefore, lo yochalucha, that's why I'm not going to eat it. So there's no inference involved at all. It is saying it is a carbon. So once it is a carbon, it is going to be, it's going to be usur. Okay, so it's not a kind of, so even in Reb Meir, it's very, very, the subtlety of la carbon versus la carbon which also means loy carbon. That's the difference between whether it's mutter or aser. The next Mishnah that's printed in our Gemara is shvua loy oichalucha. Now we're using the same lashonis that we just learned before, where I say, but now I'm saying it as a shvua, and I say, I swear, lo yochalucha, I'm not going to eat from you. Ha shvua sha'oichalucha, it should be a shvua what I will eat from you, which again is saying that I'm swearing not to eat from you. Lo shvua lo yochalucha, and now we also have the double lashon over here. It's going to be aser. Lo shvua, it's not a shvua what I don't eat, which implies that what I would eat from you would be aser. And that's as we explained before, according to the Ran Shita, this is going to be aser because it's a shvua, not a neder. In the context of a neder, it wouldn't work, as we just explained, because Rav Meir Shita doesn't like the double negative. But by shvua, even Rav Meir can agree that if that's what I'm implying, that's what I mean, then it's going to be a real shvua. Okay. But now, that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara now is going to be medayik on the words of the second case of the Mishnah, which says Hashvua Sha'ich Lecha is also Aser. So, but why is it Aser? Hashvua Sha'ich Lecha seems to say it should be a Shvua to make it Aser to that which I want to eat. The Shvua is on the case of what I will eat. Okay, so now, is that what it really means? That's the Gemara's Kasha. Michlal, the Hashvua Sha'ich Lecha, this, when I say a shvua that of what I'm going to eat from you, the loyachil namashma means I'm swearing that I won't eat. Okay, so again we have this inference that we're understanding. If I swear about eating, what I'm swearing is to say I'm swearing about the eating that I won't eat, not swearing that I will eat, but rather I'm swearing that I won't eat. That's the whole reason why it's a shvua, and it creates an isser on the eating. However. Okay, so that makes sense. If I learned it in a vacuum, I could understand that. I'm swearing not to eat, but I'm saying I'm swearing about eating. About eating means that I won't eat. However, we have a straightforward contradiction. For a minute, I have a contradiction because in the Masechta Shavuos it says Shavuos Shtaim Shein Arba, where the Gemara over there is going through the different ways and various ways I can say make a shvua. And it says, Sha'oichol v'shaloy oichol, Sha'achalti v'shaloy achalti. That's what makes it four. There's a shvua that I will or I won't, and then there's the past and the future, which makes two cases into four cases. But, Midika Omar, Oichol, Shaloy oichol, Sha'achalti v'shaloy achalti, by the fact that I divide it up, I put in the word oichol also over here because of the girsa, but by the fact that I divide up and make a distinction between whether I will eat and won't eat, and I'm using the word oichol to mean that I will eat, michlal, d'sha'oichol l'cha d'achil namashma. So the word d'oichol means I will eat, as we would expect it to mean. And so that's a straightforward contradiction. It just, does the word oichol in the context of a shvua mean I swear about it eating, that I will eat? Or is it about eating that I won't eat? Our Mishnah, again, without understanding the Mishnah in shvuas, and without even getting into the intricacies of our Mishnah over here, it's just a simple translation. Does the word oichol, which I, in the context of a shvua, mean about eating means I will eat, or about eating means I won't eat? Our Mishnah seems to imply I won't eat, and the Mishnah in shvua seems to imply that oichol is clearly indicating that I will eat. It's a shvua that I have to eat. So it's saying I will eat. So what does it mean? I will or I won't? So we're going to have two answers to this kasha. Omar Abaya. So oichol l'cha shtei l'shein is mashma. Actually, it could mean either one. Very simple, Teretz. It depends on the context. Sometimes there are words that sometimes, depending on how I say it, it could mean different things. If, you know, the inflection, a question, an answer, or a statement. But also over here, it depends on the general context. If I was asking the person to eat, to join me to eat, and he says, yeah, I'm going to come eat. No problem. And then I say, I swear I'm going to eat. So then, because of the context of what I'm talking about, I already said numerous times that I'm going to come to eat, and now I'm swearing about it. What am I swearing? I'm swearing similar to what I was saying, which is I'm swearing that I will eat. Avol. So that's one context. Avol Omar loyachilno. But if till now you've been asking me and I keep on refusing and I say I'm not going to eat. V'su Omar shvua sha'oichol. And then I say I'm swearing about the eating. So now, because of the context that I had mentioned that I'm not going to eat, loyachilno ka Omar. So now, of course, it means I'm not going to eat. So it's very simple. The word oichel, when I swear about eating, it depends on what the context is. If the context is I will eat, then I mean I will eat. I swear I will. And if the context is I won't eat, then I'm swearing I won't eat. It seems like a very simple, straightforward teretz. Rav Ashi gives a second, a different teretz. So Rav Ashi, he has to say that the case over here is she'oichol, where I emphasize she'oichol, the she, a little bit too long. So now, it means she'oichol ka'amar. It means I'm not going to eat. Like, what does the word e mean? Like, everybody's familiar with the phrase e'efsher. E'efsher means it's not possible. So e'oichol means it's not, I'm not going to eat. That's just to help you remember what the word e over here means. Not if, but that not. That not I'm going to eat. And it's because of the way he said it, he emphasizes and elongated the shin that we mean to say, oh, he means she'oichol. So even though it sounds like to the ear, it sounds like he's just saying she'oichol, but he's not really saying she'oichol. It's with the elongated shin. And therefore it becomes, I'm not going to eat. And that's the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah is, so Rav Ashi has to make an akimta in our Mishnah, but enachanami, the word oichol means I will eat. That's the normal, natural way of that's what the word oichol means. But if I say it in a funny way, I mean that I'm not going to eat. But the Gemara says, im kein pshita, my lememer. But of course, if I say very clearly that I'm not going to eat, I add the word e, then of course I'm saying I'm not going to eat. So what's there to talk about? So the Gemara says like this: Ma'od etemo, makeum lishnahu de iskale. You might think that he just stumbled over his words and he just like was having a hard time getting it out of his mouth, and he didn't really mean to change the definition or the interpretation of what I'm saying. Kamash malon. So that is the chiddush of our Mishnah, that when I do say it, elongate it, it's not because I'm struggling to say it. What I'm really trying to say is that the E. I'm emphasizing the she'oichol on purpose to mean the opposite, to mean e'oichol. And that's why the case of our Mishnah, again, you don't see that in the Mishnah, but based on the contradiction, now we can figure out that that is the case of the Mishnah, and that's a valid explanation. Okay, so we have two terutzim. The classic Gemara, when you have two terutzim, we want to know why does each shita, what's, so to speak, the difference with the other shita. So Abaye lo yomar tam de kerevashi. So Abaye clearly doesn't want to learn Ravashi's pshat Mishnah de lo yikatoni she'iyachol. That's not what it says. It's not what it says in our Mishnah. So I don't want to change the gear, so I don't want to make an akimta. So I'd rather come up with an explanation. Fine. But the other way is more, this is where it gets into the subtlety. This is a very interesting lashon. For Rav Ashi, nadi min taima de abaya. Apparently this is a phrase that is used in the Yerushalmi. So this is another place where Nedarim uses Yerushalmi type of lashonus. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi, nadi comes from the word moving, nod, to shake, to move. So nadi min taima de abaya, he moves away from the explanation of abaya. Why kasavar shaloi oichol, Nami mashma shtei lashonis. So the same way the word oichol can mean yes or no, depending on the context. If that's true, shaloi oichol also, it's the same word, and when I say the opposite, it also could mean yes or no, depending on the context, as the Gemara explains. If that person is, again, asking you to join him to eat, v'omar, and he says, loyachilno, now here you have to read it so to speak, sarcastic or as with a question mark. I'm not going to eat with you. And now, once I say, when I ask it as a question, inferring, am I not going to eat with you? And the implication is, of course, I will eat from you. So now, and then I swear in that context, now it doesn't even matter whether I swear I will eat or I swear I won't eat, because I already created the context and the circumstances of what it means. So hadena chilna mashma. Of course, since I already said, what do you think? Of course, I'm going to eat with you. Now I'm swearing. So that is both whether I say oichol or shaloi oichol. In both of those cases, it's going to mean that I'm going to eat with you. Okay. So if that's true. So now that the same way oichol can depending on the context, this is what Rav Ashi is saying. This is the problem This is the problem with Abaya's pshat. Abaya, you want to say that the word oichel can mean either way? Well, I'm going to tell you, if that's true, then lo yochel can also mean either way. And if that's true, I know different Rishonim learned this, but Ikaterutza, there's some Rishonim that actually learned it as a second separate teretz. But the Ran doesn't learn it that way. The Ran learns this as an explanation to this, to the all part of one teretz. The Ikala Terutzei Nami Lishna, and now you can explain the Lashon of Shvuah, Shvuah Shaloi Oichel, Shvuah Deloi Achil Nuka Amar. So in our Mishnah, don't forget, our Mishnah does give the first case of our Mishnah is Shvuah Loi Oichel. That is the first case of our Mishnah. Which the problem is that now you could say that the word Shvuah Loi Oichel, Shvuah Deloi Achil Nuka Amar, and it could also mean Shaloi Achol, Shvuah Deloi Achil Nuka Amar, means I won't eat from you. And if that's the case, right? So one second. I skipped a line over here. Right. Bikhil Trutinami Lishna Shvua Shaloyachol Shvua Deloyachil Nakamar. You could interpret the word that I won't eat it, that I won't eat from you, which is the way we interpret it, and therefore it's a shvua that I won't eat and creating an Isser. But it could, you know, you have to add a little bit of an explanation over here. But I could also mean that I'm gonna swear that I will eat, even though I use the word shaloyachol, but we just said that the word loyachol can sometimes mean that I will eat from you. And in which case I'm not creating an Isser. If I'm not creating an Isser, why would the Mishnah then conclude that means that phrase automatically creates an Isser? It doesn't automatically create an Isser. So again, according to Abai, you're opening yourself up that the word Oichel, and therefore the word Loichel, doesn't really have a set pshat. So therefore Ravashi says, no, I want to make it El Tana Pasko. The Tana wants to give a final explanation. Sha'oichol da'achil namashmo. I'd rather use a pshat where the word oichol means that I will eat, and the shaloyochol loyochol mashmo. And therefore, when I say the word loyochol, I mean I won't eat. Instead of saying the word oichol can mean whatever I want it to mean, and when it's convenient for me, I'll interpret it this way, and when it's convenient for me, I'll interpret it that way, that opens you up to, so you never know what the case of the Mishnah is. So what is the case talking about? Because I never know what it means, because it could mean this, it could mean that. So how could the Mishnah give a final absolute explanation? Elamai, that's why it has to be that the case of the Mishnah is Shavuah Loyochol means I will not eat. And the Shavuah Sheoichol, also, if the Mishnah is telling us it's Asur, is that I will not eat. And you have to say, and that's why Rabashi says, Sheoichol means Sheoichol. So Loyochol means I won't eat, and Sheoichol also means I will, Sheoichol, I won't eat. And both of that means I won't eat. As opposed to opening yourself up, again, I'm just trying to explain why Rabashi does not agree with a biased interpretation. Because once you open yourself up to say, well, it can mean whatever I want it to mean, so then how do you know that the person making the shvua really means to us or anything? By the fact that he, right? So the only way we can know that is if it has an absolute explanation. So you have to say, because based on the Mishnah and Shvua, shaloyachol means that I will eat. Oichol means oichol, and shaloyachol means shaloyachol. So that is, the Mishnah and Shvua is, let's put it this way, the Mishnah and Shvua is dafka. The way it's written in Masechta Shavuos, Sha'oichol means I will eat, and Shaloyochol means I won't eat. That's the Mishnah in Shavuos. Our Mishnah here in Nedarim, even though it says the word Sha'oichol, but it's not read as the word Sha'oichol, we have to change the gear, so we're making a kimta in the Mishnah, to say that Sha'oichol means She'i'oichol. And that's why, over here in our Mishnah, the conclusion is going to be Asur, that there is an Isser over here, because I said She'i'oichol, which means she'i'oichol, that I won't eat from you. It's also, basically, the way Rav Ashi is learning is shvua loyoichol and shvua she'oichol are both saying loyoichol. She'oichol in our Mishnah is now meant to be read as she'oichol, that I'm not going to eat from you. So both of them are saying, I'm not going to eat from you. So since I'm not going to eat from you, there's an Isser over here. And if I eat, there's going to be an Isser. So that's how Rav Ashi is going to learn the words of our Mishnah in order to be consistent with the words, with the word oichol literally meaning I will eat in the, that's what the word means in Masechta Shavuos. So the third piece of this Mishnah, the third Mishnah on the Yamid is now, was actually the second Mishnah technically on Tezayin Amud Aleph, but as I said before, it goes together with the Mishnah right at the bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis. But the third Mishnah now says, and this is a quote that we've seen before, Zeh Chomer B'Shvuas Mibin Adarim. There are some stringencies that apply to shvuas that don't apply to nedarim. The chaim of nedarim and shvuas, and the other way is also true. There are certain attributes about nedarim that are more stringent than a shvuah. Now, ketzad, over here we're going to jump, and this is the proof that it connects back to the first Mishnah, but now we're going to jump to what is more stringent about a neder. It says, ketzad, Omar koinem sukkah sha'ani oisa. I'm making a neder that I'm asering like a carbon, a sukkah that I'm going to make. So even though we're talking about making the sukkah and the Rishonim and talk about the making versus sitting, let's just, for our purposes, talk about the sitting in the sukkah, the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. Or lulav sha'ani noitel, I'm making an iser, I'm picking up a lulav, tefillin sha'ani maniach, or making the neder about not putting on tefillin. So b'nedar maser, if this is going to work as a neder, and we'll explain how exactly you phrase it in order for it to work, but by neder it's going to work. B'shvuah mutar. Again, we're looking over here for the stringencies, making a neder more chomer, more stringent than a shvuah. So in this case, I make a shvuah about a mitzvah, it's not going to work at all. Why? As the Mishnah itself explains, she'en ishpah en lav or al mitzvahs. I can't swear to go directly against the mitzvah. I can't swear the Torah says I should do it. I can't swear I'm not going to do it. Okay? Whereas by a case of a neder, I could, if I phrase it correctly, make a neder to create some level of iser in the context of something that I would otherwise have to do because of the mitzvah. Now, we'll figure that out in a moment. But let's first now turn to Tazayin Mabez. So the Gemara over here goes and says, Chomer, by the fact that I say that it is more stringent. Now, more stringent doesn't mean mutter versus aser. If it's mutter, there is no stringencies whatsoever. To be stringent, I have to say there's a little bit of a restriction, and then there are more restrictions. It's more than. But to go from nothing to something, nothing is not a restriction at all. So, that's the Gemara's kasha. Chomer, by the fact that we're saying that it's more stringent, michlal de neder hoop, we're saying that it is a neder. We're saying that it is a neder on some level. Now, v'hamutter ketani. But the problem is that it's saying about this neder that it is mutter. Now, what are we talking about? So, in order to understand this Gemara's kasha, you have to understand that we are talking about the last line of the Mishnah on Tezvav Amud Beis. That's what the Gemara is asking the Kasha and having a problem. Because we just said, now the reason why we waited till now to ask a question, why don't we ask this question on Tezvav Amud Beis, if this is really based on the Gemara over there? Because now that we've created this sentence that we just read in the beginning of this Mishnah, which is that there's a chomer by Nedarim versus Shvuah, or the other way around really, there's a chomer by Shvuah over Nedarim. So now that if that concept is true, and we're implying, since I'm giving examples of Nedarim over here, that means we're implying the Shvuah, we're implying that the stringencies of Shvuah that we said earlier apply to, is trying to be more stringent than neder, but if you look at the last line of Tesvav and Veis, which was those words of korban lo yoichol, how korban shoichol, and so on and so forth, over there it says, in conclusion, that those nedarim are completely mutter. And as we explained 2 seconds ago, we explained, that stringent means that it's usher on a lower level, and it's more stringent, it's usher on a higher level, or more usher. But if the conclusion of the Mishnah on Tezvav and Beis, when it was talking about Nedarim, said it's mutter, that doesn't make Shvuah more chomer, that makes Shvuah an usher, and Nedarim is mutter. It's not a chumrah, that's not a more chomer, more a stringent, a layer. Think about chumrah, the way the Gemara is interpreting it, as a layer. You have a little bit of a layer and then another layer on top of that. But if it's mutter, there is no layer. It's 5 times 0 is 0, 100 times 0 is still 0. It's not more stringent. And again, because the Gemara over here is referring to that line on the last part of the Mishnah on Tezvav and Beis. V'hamutter ketani. So the Gemara says that's not what we're referring to. You're right. Mutter versus Osir is not a chumrah. Rather, we're going aseifa de'idach bovi ketani. We're going on the end of the case. It says, which is really, in the way our Mishnah is written, is really the first half of that last part of the Mishnah, but it's the first half rather. It says, Shvuah she'eini yashan, she'eini medaber, she'eini mahalich, osur. So there, we're saying that it's a Shvuah that I'm not going to sleep, talk, or walk. There, the case is osur. That case is, in fact, zechomer, B'shvuos mi b'nedarim. That actually is more stringent than by nedarim, because by nedarim, now here's the interesting part that you have to add in, the way the Ran explains the Gemara, is that by nedarim, we actually learned the Mishnah nedarim, which also says that these nedarim are not chal, but it says lo yachel devari. The Mishnah at the end of the first parak says lo yachel, there is an isser of lo yachel. Now, and the Gemara itself asks, why? Why is it aser at all? We know that by nedarim, you can't make a neder on an intangible object. And the Gemara says, you're right. However, this is a loyachel dirabbanon. It's usur midirabbanon. So in conclusion, which by the way is what the Mishnah says, I'm not even changing the Mishnah. The Mishnah does say that it's usur for loyachel. We didn't understand why, so we had to explain that it's only midirabbanon. Even though I agree midiraisa, it's nothing. But midirabbanon, we created an isser. So now you can understand the words of the Mishnah when it says that shvua is more chamor, a neder is only usur midirabbanon. Shvua, if you say the same thing in the context of a shvua, it's going to be osir midaraisa. And that is, in fact, more stringent. Issur derabbanan versus issur derabbanan. Now we can talk about being more stringent. So that is going on the case of so it's going on the first half of the Mishnah back on Tezvav Amud Beis, and that's why now the words chomer make sense. Fine. Then the Gemara says, "Chomer b'nedarim b'shvuos ketzad." So now let's go into the cases of neder itself. There are some cases that by a neder we're going to be more machmer. So by a shvuah, I can't make a shvuah directly opposed to a mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah says I should do it; I can't swear not to do it. By a neder, I can. Now, how is that possible? So the Gemara explains as follows: Rav Kahana Masni. Rav Kahana learned to explain this Mishnah. Amar Rav Gido, Amar Rav. The Rav Gidl, when he was explaining this, said it in the name of Rav. Rav Tavyumi Masni, Rav Tavyumi, when he learned the explanation, he said, Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Shmuel. He learned it in the name of Shmuel. Now, just as an aside, before we even get to what they said, just remember that Rav and Shmuel both had yeshivas at the same time, and there were many Talmidim, I don't know how many, but there were some who traveled from one yeshiva to the other yeshiva. Like the most famous is Rabbi Yehuda, where the Gemara Ne'erivan talks about it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We see those type of quotes all the time. Rabbi Yehuda was one of those who went, and the Gemara itself actually says that Rabbi Yehuda started in Shmuel, then he went to Rav, then he went back to Shmuel, and so on and so forth. So he was constantly quoting each of them. So Rav Gidl also sometimes quotes Rav, sometimes quotes Shmuel, and that's, so over here we're not sure which yeshiva he learned this thing. In any event, he taught us as follows: Minayin she'ein nishboin lavor al hamitzvos. How do we know? Where is this concept that I can't swear to do something against what the Torah says to be over in a mitzvah? Talmud loymer, because the pasuk says lo yachel devaroy. So you're not allowed to make your words meaningless. However, the way we translate these words is as follows: Divaroi lo yachel. When I make a shvuah to do something, or an edut to do something, that's where I am not allowed to make my words meaningless. When I said it about something about myself, I'm not allowed, if I said I'm gonna do something, I have to do it. Avol meichul hu l'chefzei shamayim. So this is the point. But I can make my words meaningless when it comes to doing the desire of Hashem. Meaning, let's again just pick any mitzvah. You can pick the mitzvah of tefillin, as the Mishnah itself uses. I say I am not putting on tefillin. So I said something. So the rule is I'm not allowed to go against what I said. Yes. Unless the reason why I'm going against what I said is because I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do. So when it comes, so that's how we learn that I cannot swear to do something which is directly against what the Torah said I should do. The Torah has no problem with me going against my own words if it's for the sake of fulfilling what the Torah wants to do. Okay, so that's how we know that a shvua against the Torah is not chal. Before, we've said this in the context of a shvua. However, the Gemara has a problem. Maishna neder. Why would neder be different in the fact that by neder, somehow my neder would be chal and I would have to listen to my neder? The chsiv, as the pasuk itself says, ish ki yidar neder la Hashem. The pasuk in the beginning of the pasuk says, if I make a neder to Hashem, which implies that we're talking about a mitzvah, lo yachel devari. So I'm not allowed to go against my word. So even though I made a neder about something which is a mitzvah, because it's in the context of Hashem, something that has to do with Hashem, still I'm not allowed to go what I promised. I promise I'm not going to do something, I have to keep my word, even though it affects a mitzvah. So if that's the way you're learning, Shvua Nami Oksiv, Oyishava Shvua La Hashem. It also says that when I make a Shvua to Hashem, Lo Yachel Devari. I also not allowed to go against what I said. So you're right, I did swear against the thing, against the mitzvah, but it should be, I should learn the pasuk the same way to say that, okay, fine, but I can't go against what I promised. I promised. Now I promised. Now I have to keep my promise. So what's the difference between shvua and neder? Now, in order to understand this gemara, let's take 10 seconds to just read the pasuk. What is it's all the same pasuk, by the way. It's not two different pasukim. Right. So let's read the words of the pasuk to understand and appreciate the teretz of the gemara. The pasuk is words are as follows: Ish ki yidar neder la Hashem. Oy hishava shvua lesser iser al nafshay. So either I made a neder to Hashem, or I made a shvua lesser iser al nafshay. The pasuk concludes, "Vayachel devaroy kachol yetsim mipiv yase." You're not allowed to go against your word; whatever you said, you have to keep. So we see that neder and shvua are both listed in the same pasuk, and it says "Vayachel." So the Gemara's question is: it says "Ki yidar neder la Hashem," and then it says "Oy hishava shvua." Now, what I want to point out from this is it doesn't say "Oy hishava shvua la Hashem." Even though the Gemara quotes, that's the quote, that's the words that it's written in the Gemara, that's not the words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk never says, Oyishav HaShvua LaHashem. The Pasuk says, Oyishav HaShvua LaAser, Iser. It doesn't say LaHashem. So that's important to understand. It's just that since it's written in the same context, it says, neither LaHashem, L'Chayr, we're going to understand that the Shvua is also LaHashem. It's not actually what the Pasuk says. Okay, so we have to be very careful over here. So now, based on but for the time being, in the Havamina of the Gemara thinks that there's no difference between a Shvua and a Neder. So they should have the same conclusion. They should have the same halacha. So what is the difference? So Amar Abayo, Abayo says the difference is as follows: Hoda Omar Hanoa Suka Alai, Hoda Omar Shvua Shaloya Hene Min Hasuka. So it depends on what I say. If I say, so the difference between a neder and a shvu is that the neder is not really going directly opposed to the mitzvah. The mitzvah, so to speak, can still be carried out. However, I am not going to benefit from the mitzvah, and I'm going to create an iser on the object itself. Memela, as a result, it's going to be difficult for me to fulfill the mitzvah, because I'm going to have a problem. On the one hand, I want to do the mitzvah, but the object is also to me. That I can create. Versus if I'm going shaloi, versus where I say shvua shaloya hene, where I say shvua, I will not have anything to do with this mitzvah. I will not have hanoah from this mitzvah. Sounds like the act of the mitzvah is what I'm making the shvua on. That cannot be chal, because the Torah already said I have to do something. So I can't swear directly opposed. So to speak, I already have a shvua. Mushma va'omid mehar Sinai, so to speak. I'm already sworn that I will do it. So I can't swear not that I won't do it, because I already, that's not going to work. So the way Abaya phrases it is it depends on whether I'm making the isra on the object, and then as a result I can't do it. There's a problem for me to do it, so therefore I can't go against my word, versus making a shvua directly opposed to the mitzvah, that's not going to work. Now, that is the essential teretz. When Rava comes and argues in the next line of the Gemara, the way the Ran learns is Amar Rava v'chi mitzvos lahenas nitnu. So Rava just has a technical problem with Abaya. He's not really actually arguing with Abaya in the teretz. He agrees that the difference between a neder and a shvua is the difference between going directly opposed as opposed to creating the iser. The only problem Rava has where, as he phrases, mitzvos lav lahenas nitnu. He says v'chi mitzvos lahenas nitnu. It has nothing to do with hano. He has a problem with the way, so to speak, with the way Abaya phrased it. This is the way the Ran learns, one shot in the Ran. So he's saying, but I don't argue with the concept, and therefore when Rava gives his teretz, so Rava says, okay, it has nothing to do with the hano, phrasing the hano of the act versus the hano of the object. That's not the difference. Elo, Amar Rava, Hoda Amar Yeshivas Sukha Alai. The idea of sitting, now even though the sitting is an act, and we already know by neder an act is not tangible, but the way the Ran gets around this problem is saying, I'm referring to the sukkah. It's not the act that I'm referring to, it's the sukkah that I'm referring to, and the act is just inevitable. So it's the yeshiva sukkah. I'm making a neder on the sukkah that I can't do the yeshiva in it. Versus, I say straight out, explicitly, that I will not sit in the sukkah, which is exactly what the Torah wants you to do. So again, Rava's Teretz is similar to Abaye in the sense that by the Neder versus Shvuah, there is a distinction between the two, whereas one, I'm not assuring the mitzvah. I'm assuring an object, which is the object of the mitzvah, which makes it difficult for me to fulfill it, because now I have a personal problem with the object. And that the neder can be chal on, and I say lo yachal debarei. And if I have to go against, if I go against my words, I'm being over the yisur of lo yachal. Whereas the shvuah is not chal in the first place, because the shvuah is just directly opposed to what the Torah says. The Torah says do it, and you say don't do it. You can't argue with the Torah, so to speak. I'm arguing with the Torah that shvuah is not going to be chal. I can't make a shvuah that I'm not going to sit in the sukkah when the Torah specifically said you should sit in the sukkah. I can't make that also. Whereas I can make the sukkah itself an object as also that creates a problem for me. And it creates a problem for me. I'm going to have a loyach el debari. That's the distinction. But again, the difference between Abaye and Rava is really just whether we focus on the act versus we focus on the hano of the act. Okay, now to finish off the Gemara over here, we'll just do a few more lines. V'she'ein ishpoin, we're still on the bottom of Tezayin and Beis. V'she'ein ishpoin lavar ala mitzvah mehochan afko alei. So again, the conclusion is that you can't make a shvua to go against the mitzvah. So the Gemara is saying, is this really the makor? Is this really the source to teach us this halacha? May also nafkalei. We have really a totally different source from a different pasuk that teaches us the same idea. But the question of the Gemara is, we have a different source. The Tanya we learned in the Brisa, Yochel Nishbalavatel Es Hamitzvos V'loy Bitol. You might think that in a case where I made a shvua to not fill a mitzvah and I didn't end up. I didn't go against the mitzvah. So again, I made a shvuah not to put on tefillin. And I ended up putting on tefillin. Yochol yehi chayiv. You might think that I'm over an iser of lo yachel because of the fact that I put on my tefillin. Again, I didn't listen to my shvuah. So now, on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, let's just do the four lines here. Talmud loymar, that's why in Abba Pasuk, lo hara oilei teiv. That it's for the good or for the bad in terms of whether I fulfill the mitzvah. Ma tova rishus, afaro rishus. When I say that I will do something, it's because I want to. Versus if I say I'm not going to do something, it's also because I want to. Yotza nishba levatel es hamitzvah. Remember, this is all part of the drasha. Yotza nishba levatel es hamitzvah is v'loy bito. Whereas I make a shvua that I'm not going to fulfill a mitzvah, and I don't keep my word. In other words, I was not mevatel the mitzvah. She'en rishus biyodei. I don't have permission to make that kind of statement, and therefore the shvuah is not chal. Now, this is based on a completely different pasuk. This is based on a pasuk levatez b'sfasayim la'ra lo'hitev. That I can't. So it's the same conclusion that the point is I can't make a shvuah to I can't state words which are a shvuah, which are directly against a mitzvah, because I don't have permission. Versus the only time I can make a shvuah that the shvuah is chal and I have to listen to what I said is when I say something about my own personal. It's my own personal thing. It's either yes or no. But the point is it's a personal. I can decide whether I want to do it in the first place. So the point is the Gemara's question over here is simply. We now have two psukim which both have the same conclusion. One is la'achal tabar is by neder that is chal by shvuah is not, and one is la'arah lo'aytev by yivates vasayim, which also only applies to rishus and not apply to mitzvah. So he can't swear to go against the mitzvah. So the Gemara's conclusion is, and we'll finish with this line. So enachanam, you're right. Chad kro lemiftere mekorbin shvuah, which is the second pasuk. One is a pasuk to tell us that if I make a shvuah against the mitzvah, I am not even chayav to bring a korban, even though I went against my word. B'chad lemiftarei min lav de shvuah. And one is to say that it's not even a shvuah in the first place, that I don't even have a lav. So you're right. There are two psukim. The question really remains as a true statement that why do I need this pasuk? We have a different pasuk. The answer is because the two psukim are teaching us two different things. One is coming to tell us that I don't have to bring a korban in that context, even though I said something which I did not fulfill. And normally when I make a shvuah and I don't fulfill my shvuah, I have to bring a korban. A bitur is fasayim. Over here, I don't have to, because I went against the mitzvah, and I never had rishus to make that shvu in the first place. And the second is to tell us that I'm not even over the lab. Essentially, the shvu is not chal in the first place. And therefore, I did not, it's meaningless words, because it doesn't say, ki yidr neder, it doesn't really say yidr neder la Hashem. But, it doesn't say shvu, oishav shvu la Hashem. Hashem is only, I cannot make a shvu which goes directly, that the loyachel is not, the words loyachel don't apply when I make a shvu when it's la Hashem. Because it only says oishav shvu loyachel debari. I only when I make a shvu for my own objects, that's when the shvu is chal. But if it's for Hashem's objects, that, in that context, my shvu is not against Hashem. That shvu is not chal in the first place. There isn't even an isser lav. Okay, we'll stop over here.